Off the Ball Rugby.
You've heard a lot of them talk about, you know, be yourself, and that's something that Andy Farrell would say on the first day of any camp, that he wants you to be yourself.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod on Off the Ball with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
And you are welcome to episode 83 of the Racing Pod on Off the Ball with John Duggan and Johnny Ward. Remember, we're here every week with analysis, race previews, tips, stories, interviews, bit of crack as well. The first half of the pod each week is free to air. The second part is exclusively for members. So be sure to sign up by going to offtheball.com/join. And this week for members, we're going to look at the supporting races at Sandown on Saturday, also Haydock, and we'll get Johnny's charity bet. So subscribe now. How are you, Johnny?
I'm very well, JD. I was at Bellewstown on Thursday there again this evening, and having a nice time there. So it's been some great racing.
Have you found yourself stuck in the phone box yet?
Yeah, I'm a bit of a tourist when it comes to these racetracks and the little kind of...
I've never been to Bellewstown. I've got to sort that out.
Yeah, I was just looking at it. From my house, it's under 40 kilometres away yesterday, if you were to go even on the road. And you see the little slither of County Meath's coastline if you go up to the stand. And it's really, really rural. Like, there's a bar kind of across the road, but it's one of those racetracks that you wonder how these racetracks, even like Goran, like, they're really, really rural. And I love that about those racetracks. There's really nothing else around the area in terms of being built up. I did notice yesterday, Bellewstown is on the Hill of Crockafoot, as it's called. And I always thought that was a weird name. And it was only the first time I noticed yesterday. Gavin Lynch organises this charity cycle in aid of research into pancreatic cancer every year. And one of the stops on the way is Bellewstown, and it's a big climb, like, it's up in a hill, and the actual Irish word is An Cnoc Fada, which is like basically the long hill. And whoever the genius was that had to turn that into English, An Cnoc Fada became Crocafota, which it's like Balia Oi, right, in a Thai, is like the town of the fort of E, a chieftain who died there in the 2nd century on the crossing. And they turned it into a tie. Like, so when you're trying to be loyal to the place names of Ireland and what they mean, Cnoc Fada is makes perfect sense. It's a long climb. And then when you get to Bellewstown, you're up in a height, it drains very well. And there was good racing there on Thursday night and good racing today as well.
I'm from a place called Ballybrack in Dublin, which is on Ballybrack, which means the speckled town.
Yes.
They should have just called it the speckled town.
Yeah, yeah. It's like Lisbrack is the speckled ring fort, which is Edwardstown, is one of the places in Longford, not Edwardstown, but a lot of the place names are just mad stuff. Cnoc Fada, I was like, that. Yeah,
what's Liss Stowell in Irish?
Liss Tuhil, which is the ring fort, Tuhil's ring fort. Liss is very, very common. Like, I think it's like a ring fort would have been dotted around Ireland. You'd see like Raw would be there a lot. Aw would be a ford. Aw Clea is the hurdled ford, which would have been the crossing. Balio Halloon is, Loon was a kind of an innkeeper. And if you wanted to cross the Shannon, can you imagine a ford before bridges were built trying to cross the Shannon? But Aw Loon was the if you wanted to stay the night, you'd stay at Loon's little ford there before you'd cross the mighty Shannon. And that became Athlone.
Did you have a lot of time on your hands when you were younger?
I love Irish place names. I just love Irish. I did, actually. I got into weird things like national anthems and Irish place names. But
flags?
Not as much flags. My mate Julian would be big into flags. I got a bizarre fascination with national anthems when I was a teenager. I just thought they were an interesting insight into a country. And I still kind of know a lot of them. But place names, I'm actually... John Creedon did some lovely stuff in it on RT. It's... You can go, there can be so much history and meaning in a place name that brings you right back to what it meant at
and
the time.
Are there any silly anglicised Irish racecourse names then that have been just ruined by anglicisation?
Leopardstown is means nothing. Ballion Lubber, which means it's nothing to do with leopards at all, or leopards. I can't exactly remember why, but I'm sure there are many. I'm sure there are many, many more. But you know, all these this awful Irish language we had to become civilized and speak English in whatever was the 17th century. But those people who kept the language alive. And that guy John Creedon spoke about, I forget his name, but he recorded all the place names, what they meant. He did a massive, massive service for Ireland. But I'm going back to the Long Hill anyway later on.
Very good. Well done. A bit more of a serious story. Kerry jockey Oisin Murphy, four-time winner of the Flat Championship of the UK, has been banned from driving for 20 months and fined £70,000 for driving under the influence of alcohol. So the 29-year-old pleaded guilty to driving while over the limit at Reading Magistrates Court on Thursday of this week. He was just under twice the legal limit. A female passenger was also injured in the single car collision he was involved in. The British horse racing authorities say that new conditions will be placed on his licence, but for now he's free to continue riding. And he released a statement, Oisin Murphy, on Thursday to sincerely apologise for his actions. I quote, "I know that drink driving is unacceptable and there's no excuse for what I did. I have let a lot of people down. I particularly want to apologise to my passenger and her family." He added that he'd be fully cooperative with the inquiries of the BHA and will not be commenting further until that process is concluded. Now, this is not the first time that Oisin Murphy has been in trouble. He was previously banned from race riding for 14 months by the BHA following COVID and alcohol breaches. And it's a very serious development, Johnny. Look, I'm not into the sphere of punishing people in life. I would have a huge amount of empathy for anybody with any issues. I would just say that most people would as well. But when you're getting behind the wheel of a car well over the limit, that is crossing a line, obviously, which is acknowledged. He's had a lot of chances at this race. It's a damaging episode. You would hope that he will find the help to get a lasting solution here.
Yeah, I suppose the other misdemeanors, that it's just to provide a bit of context for Oisin Murphy, who is a nephew of the great
Jim
Cullity. And they bear a resemblance, actually. I don't really remember Oisin riding in Ireland, so he's obviously been in England a long time and he is an outstanding rider and top class on his game. But if you look at the misdemeanors, in November 2020, he was suspended for 3 months after he tested positive for metabolites of cocaine. And he had, the suspension was half to 6 months served by other jockeys who had tested positive for the drug, because he stated it had been due to environmental contamination after a sexual encounter with a girl who had been taking the substance. And in October 2021... Newmarket stewards stopped him from riding after he tested above the legal limit when he arrived at the race course. It had emerged that he had been involved in a fracas in a pub the night before when he punched a bloodstock agent in the face with a plastic cup. February 2022, he was banned for 14 months by the BHA for breach of coronavirus protocols, as you referenced, and for twice testing over the limit for alcohol on race days. He was found to have lied to the BHA about his whereabouts, having travelled back from a COVID red list country and not isolated before the day before race riding. And one should recall as well, in August 2024, he failed to arrive at Kempton that Monday when he was required to provide a breath sample, and he then stated subsequently that he had hemorrhoids. So we have a list of Oisin Murphy misdemeanors here, but this was way, way beyond. And I get what you're saying, JD. I lean from the left to the right and the left to the right in terms of punishment, but I generally am very much on the left in terms of empathy and looking at the root causes of somebody committing a misdemeanor like this, because Oisin Murphy has a root cause here that is very, very serious. This isn't a one-off. Anyone who gets into a car with a passenger like that, if you get into a car well over the limit as he was and then didn't obviously provide a test, you are absolutely putting others at risk. And your judgment is impaired because of the drug that is alcohol. Absolutely. But to have that woman in the car, obviously, this was an appalling infringement of decency of what he did.
Yeah, as he says, it's unacceptable and there's no excuse. So he has held his hands up in that regard. And look, I think the future is what is important now for Oisin Murphy and getting the help that he does need. And hopefully this will be the end of, as you say, the misdemeanors.
It's been a strange thing in top level Irish flat jockeys. Like, it has been a strange thing.
Not just
team.
Irish.
Not just Irish, but like when you think Richard Hughes, Johnny Murta, Kieran Fallon, Richard Hughes sober for 20 odd years, Johnny Murta sober for I don't know how long.
Yeah.
Kieran Fallon confronted.
But I would differentiate. I mean, there's an amazing video on about racing welfare, about Johnny Murta telling the story about alcohol, and Richard Hughes told a story. I think you got to distinguish between people telling their stories about alcohol and then a legal offence that's been brought before the courts when you talk about somebody being over the limit.
Oh, 100%.
And so I think we need to differentiate people who have been in the pressures of sport and had their issues, which we all have the empathy for. And I think there's been a lot of empathy for Oisin in the industry. But this is a different matter when you're getting behind the wheel of a car with somebody else in the car and you're over the limit.
100%.
So I would differentiate between, but I get your general point, which is about being a pressurised industry, a lot of wasting, a lot of pressure.
I think it's culture as well, JD. And I like to think, and this is a trend in Ireland now where alcohol consumption is on the decline. I'd like to think, I spoke to Jockey about this yesterday, who's probably be in his 30s, and he said like the culture even when from he started to now has changed a lot, and it's not so much that culture anymore, and they've such a hectic schedule, these jockeys, but they're elite level riders now as well, and I as you say, there's you have to differentiate there, but I'd like to think that's kind of going out of the game as well.
Like Frankie Dettori, Kieran Fallon have admitted taking cocaine when they were when they were riding. So look, yeah, I think we just need to draw a line under what we said here, and hopefully we'll not have to mention Oisin in that regard again. We just hopefully mentioning his talent in the saddle, as you said. The Irish Derby last week, he called it right. Lamborne won. It was pretty much as you probably would have said it was going to happen beforehand. He got racing quite a way out. Epsom and Irish Derby doubles. I don't know what's next for this horse, but Lazy Griff want to keep an eye out for over a further distance in the future, folks. But Lamborne, I suppose, got the job done. Unfashionable and unworkmanlike, but got the job done.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny for a race that was almost a repeat of Epsom. Like it just didn't get me going, and I think it was because I don't really feel this as much of a bunch of middle distance horses, and some of those well fancied horses in the Derby didn't perform at all. And I mean Lamborne didn't enhance his reputation here by effectively confirming the form. He beat a handicapper all out in second. So it was more, I suppose, his toughness. And it was a weekend when, with the prevailing wind, it paid to be on the pace. But he was racing a long way out, I think, and he had to show his toughness. I mean, looking at Lamborne in terms of his long-term future, if he doesn't go down the ledger route, they're probably looking at him as a stallion that could go for the flat. But for me, he may end up being a National Hunt stallion. 10 grand, sorry, or something like that, or even cheaper if he's National Hunt. But he's developed into a very good horse, and I felt there was an awful lot of chat about the Curragh, the structure of the weekend card and all of that.
I went on social media and I said, look, Aidan O'Brien was, you know, rowing back on the naysayers, and people have been negative about the Derby and the race and the festival. And I just said, it's not being negative to ask the question why 20,000 people less than 20 years ago were going to the Curragh on Derby Day. 31,000 in 2005, 11,000 last week. And it's important to ask the questions and try to find the solution. And we talked about this in the show last week, but if you're not asking the questions, if you're not trying to help to find the solution, it's still going to be 11,000 for the next few years.
Yeah, and people who laud, you know, the attendance at Croke Park last week, or the League of Ireland attendances or rugby attendance, like racing attendances include everyone. Basically, like, this is jockeys, the trainers, and loads of complimentaries. So these figures are very small. Like, even 11,000 at the Curragh Derby Day, the amount of those who actually paid in, you'd be surprised how low it is. And I mean, I'm being hypocritical here, because I've often asked for complimentaries off racetracks. People ask me for tickets, can I do something, and maybe I owe him or her a favour, I just try to help, and you annoy the person at the racetrack, but complimentaries are obviously.
But in a more general sense,
so it's about
the crowd, but the buzz is not there. But
in fairness, RJD, neither of us was at the Derby. I was at Croke Park on Sunday, but there was a lot of favourable reports about the buzz.
Okay.
Now the crowd that you talk about, that was, you know, it was Budweiser used to be a big sponsor, and it was a big day out, and you could go into the Enfield and all of that. I certainly think they need to improve on 11,000 or 12,000 for the Derby.
But you're saying it's not all bad then?
No, it's not all bad. And sorry, like, Irish people as well, they're just not that bothered about going racing to watch. I think they're not that bothered about going racing to see horses full stop. I think Irish racing, in terms of attendances, are the diehards. It's like mass people who just keep going, people who buy newspapers. The decline is with the rate of the mortality of the older people, and that you go to Thurles and as far as it's older people going racing. The other people who go racing are not racing fans per se, they're people who want a day out. There'll be more people at Laytown, as we were last year, than would have paid into the Guineas. Like, that's to watch run of the mill horses on the beach. So it's a spectacle, and the Curragh can't change that. But I do feel, JD, and I've had a go at Leopardstown on this, I do feel some racetracks aren't making anywhere near enough effort to get people to go racing. Like, nowhere. If you're selling a product, if you're running a racetrack, one of the actual, one of your challenges should be to get people to go racing. It's as simple as that.
Okay, 3:35 Saint Anne's Saturday. The Carl Eclipse, a Group 1, six runners, good ground. Good race, this. Looking through the field, Ombudsman, Sozi, Camille Pissarro, Delacroix, Hot as Hell, and Ruling Court. I like this race.
Oh, it's a cracker. I have to say, I think in terms of the flats, I'm going, like, I am, it's funny, I'm turning so much to the flat over National Hunt. I just think it's way more interesting as time goes on. Maybe that's a sign of National Hunt decline, but I love mile and two races on the flat because it brings the milers against the middle distance horses. And it's such a kind of a specialist in-between trip. And I love the Champion Stakes for that reason. And you have this as well, the Eclipse, where we've a hot favourite, an Ombudsman. I tipped him up at Royal Ascot, but he was friendless in the betting. And I definitely feel he was flattered at Royal Ascot because Luxembourg didn't perform. There was a pace collapse and those in behind kind of came with a withering late run. He looked very good on the day. I'm just not sure about would I back him at this price. I don't feel the race is going to be run like that at all here. It's going to be much more tactical.
Would you forgive Delacroix?
Yeah, I would.
Because Ryan Moore stays loyal. He doesn't ride Camille Pissarro.
Yeah, and that's a fair point as well. Camille Pissarro, you know, he's a proper proven 10 furlong performer, and the fact that he rides Delacroix is a positive for his chance. There's not a lot between them in the betting, but Delacroix was sent off 2-1 favourite in the Derby. At the same time, he was very, very good. Even if you look at his win at Leopardstown in the early season trial when he beat Lamburn, that's worked out well. For me, the thing with Delacroix here is dropping back in trip, and the fact that I think he'll be able to get out in front and possibly sort of half dictate a muddling pace or be up with the pace. I don't think this race is going to work out quite as easy for the favourite, so maybe there'll be more questions to ask of him. But like Ruling Court, I was very, very disappointed in him at Royal Ascot. Having said that, it might have been a case that he was trained to run in the Derby. Probably rightly they pulled him out of the Derby, and maybe trying to train a horse to win a Derby after being a Guineas winner and then dropping him back to a Guineas trip like a few days later just was too much. He raced very lethargically for me and has questions to answer, but he's still an intriguing runner.
Is he your each way selection?
I'm going to go with Delacroix at the prices.
Yeah, so am I. Both, yeah. 11 to 2. So
11 to 2 is the top price with Hills, and I'm happy enough with that. I mean, you can't be confident.
But it each way back to nothing in a race at what?
I'm not sure, Judy. We've only six runners. I wouldn't be guaranteed he'll finish in the first. 11 to 8 to place is not a 11 to 8 to place is not a is not necessarily a good bet. It wouldn't be a good bet. But Ombudsman for me, I feel that Royal Ascot was definitely a bit flattering.
And then we have the Pat's Mullen Stakes in honour of the late great man. Nace on Saturday, 4:17 a mile, eight runners. This is a race for 2-year-olds. Daytona was a 500 grand colt. Aidan O'Brien trains will come on for a 7-furlong win at Gorn. Should he win?
Yeah, the Gorn race was a bit odd because I remember even watching a race on TV and they were commenting afterwards, God, there wasn't a bean for this horse. He went off threes in the ring, whatever he went off in the exchanges, and he just won easily under Jack Cleary, who's flying it for Ballydoyle. His prices have just come in, and fair play to Hills for putting the price up because you're getting each way terms here in the race. It's not the easiest price. They've actually gone 13-8 joint favourite with North Coast, which is interesting because there are some...
It's Joseph's horse, Joseph.
Yeah, there are some intriguing runners in this, including Green Soul, a couple of newcomers, Blue Blue Moon by Space Blues is a first season sire, and Wyman by Australia, who's in some sort of vogue at the minute. I'd go with Daytona. I don't know what to make of that Gorn form. It hasn't really been properly tested yet, and I don't know if it were that hot, but he should improve, and he was very good on the day.
Okay, this is the Racing Pod on Off the Ball. If you're listening to the free version of the podcast, we're leaving you here. But if you're looking for more, including our look at the supporting races at Sandown on Saturday and also Haydock and Johnny's charity bet because he won last week, go to offtheball.com/join to subscribe and get the full podcast with all of our racing tips, stories and insights from the week's action.